I want to make a suggestion about food. Yes, food, Ian. It seems to me that we don't need to eat every day. We could eat just on Sundays, right? One meal a week, that'll do us fine. What about, or even just once a fortnight? Eating once a fortnight, that should be all right. Or maybe once a month. Or maybe even we could just eat a big meal at Christmas and Easter. Big feasts, they'll do us, won't it? Absurd, isn't it? Completely absurd. Almost absurd is the idea that we can take care of our souls by only looking after ourselves spiritually at Christmas and Easter, or once a month coming to church, or once a fortnight, or even just once a week. Actually, of course, we need to be taking care of ourselves spiritually and taking spiritual nutrition daily, just like we do with our bodies. You can probably get away with a 5-2 diet. Some people do that, don't they? Physically, you can probably get away with that, but no more. This gospel reading today actually gives us some really good clues and good hints and tips on how to look after ourselves spiritually, how to take care of our souls. So I want to have a little bit of a look at this. The first thing, so looking at the gospel reading that's on your sheet there, Gospel Mark 9, 2-9. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. Here's the first bit of wisdom that people have known for 2,000 years. Actually, we all know it really. You've really got to make the time to go apart by yourselves with Jesus. You've got to give time to God. You can't look after yourselves nutritionally, spiritually, without doing that. And there's only one person who can do that, and that's you. No one can tell you to do this. You have to tell yourself to do it. And it's really, really necessary. It's when you see that they go apart by themselves with Jesus that they encounter him properly in all his revealed glory. So that's really, really important to do. And it's really simple to do, and you know, really hard to do. I don't know why it is that we find it so difficult to make time to do that, but it's just really important. So let's make sure we give a bit of time every day just to be apart, set some time apart to be alone with God. And then what happens is, then it's at that point that Jesus is revealed to them as the source of spiritual life. He's dazzling, transfigured. He's the one from whom their life comes. Now, sometimes, however, when we do take time to pray or to meditate on the scripture, it's very often not a dazzling light that we encounter, is it? It's actually more like that. We're more like in the condition that they are at the end of this gospel reading, when it says, it says, then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. It's more like that, actually. Whenever we pray, very, very often, it's more like cloud that's there. And you think, well, what is this then? Why don't we see the brightness of Christ? Because, as I was saying 2 weeks ago, which you probably won't remember because no one remembers sermons, do they? Not really. But as I was saying, well, we don't, though, do we? I mean, not really. It was Epiphany, and I was saying then that actually the light of Christ is, this is what St. Teresa of Avila was saying, that the light of Christ is a light in our hearts. It's just that he's occluded. That light is often occluded, clouded over. We don't see that very, very clearly. And one of the reasons for that is what's happening with our mind, what's going on in our heads. This cloud represents all the stuff that's going on particularly in your analytic mind. Now, don't get me wrong, the analytic functions of our mind are really, really important. They have their place. We couldn't survive without it. We'd have less rich lives without them. We really need that analytic function. But when it comes to actually being open to new experiences and open to connection with people and God, Our analytic functions don't help us very much. What happens when we try to stop and pray is very often a lot of whirring that goes on. Thoughts, feelings, imaginings, planning. You get distracted by memories, ideas, and often deep feelings. It's usually a mixture of difficulty, distraction, and drivel, frankly. Our minds whirring away, trying to focus on God and distracted by all this stuff. And the problem is not that we have thoughts, but it's what we do with them sometimes. So you're walking along, and all of a sudden you see a particular bloom, for example. Oh, that's beautiful. And then you remember that the last time you saw that bloom was with somebody who gave you a really difficult, hard time. So now you're thinking about that hard time that you had and the way that they offended you. And then you get all caught up in, what I should have said was this, and they shouldn't have never have done that. And all before you know it, instead of feeling delighted by the bloom, you're actually all caught up in some sort of horrible kind of emotional memory of what went on. That sort of thing happens all the time with us. We get caught up in the commentary which attaches itself to the simple events and experiences, the thoughts and feelings that we have. And in contemplative prayer, particularly contemplative prayer, we learn the discipline of just sitting still and being open to the presence of God. And as we do that, the cloud begins to part. And as St. Hesychius says, that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, first of all, the light begins to shine through. The light, which is gloriously there all the time anyway, begins to shine through like a candle. And as you continue this practice daily of just being with God and being simply there and present with Jesus, the light begins to increase. You begin to see, the cloud begins to part, and it becomes more like moonshine. Not moonshine, you understand, but you know, moonshine. And then the full light of the sun. But it takes time and it takes practice. It takes the practice of daily coming apart with Jesus. One of the tips and hints that the monastic disciplines in particular had was that was the use of a prayer word. Don't know if you use a prayer word, but a particular prayer word or phrase, because it gives your analytic mind something to do when you're trying to be open to connection, that part of your mind which is open to connection. And so a prayer word can be as simple as the word Jesus. It can be a single syllable word like faith or hope or love. Or it can be a phrase like the Jesus prayer. Jesus, have mercy on me. Shortest, there are longer versions of it. And as you just pray that prayer, just giving that for your mind to do, sitting in the presence of God and enjoying his presence. And as you do that, the cloud can begin to part. I want to say something about the nature of who we are as well from this. You notice, I want to go back to that mountain. There is a strong tradition, again, in monastic spirituality that says this, that Christ is already at the heart of you. Jesus is there. You're his. He bought you. He's redeemed you. He is present inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the whole of the spiritual life is all about connecting with that, realizing that, and becoming aware of that, aware more and more of that. But the truth is this, that really at the heart of you, there is the presence of God. God is there at the heart of you, like a really stable, strong mountain. There is a rock-like presence at the heart of who you are. And all that happens to us, all of the distressing stuff, all of the distressing emotions or difficulties that we go through, is like weather. It's the weather. Sometimes weather's really bad, right? I mean, it's nasty weather. Bereavement, sickness, illness, loss. Those things are difficult things to bear. Pain. But it's still the weather. These things do not change the truth of who you are at the core of you. That God is there because he loves you. He's the source of your life. And the truest part of you, the part of you which is the core of who you truly are, is there with him at the heart of you, like the strength of a strong mountain. Weather comes and goes. As I say, it could be bad weather at times, but it does come and grow. This is the truth of who you are. Christ is at the center of you. And each day there is the possibility of us, like Peter, James and John, coming apart with Christ, spending time with him and learning to see through that cloud and listen to that voice that says this to you. You are my son. You are my daughter. You're beloved to me and I love you. Amen. Thank you.